You know, at the end of last year, and I've shared this before, I prayed I'd had pastors talk about how God gave them a word for the coming year, and I prayed, and I'd never had God really give me that before. But at the end of last year, I felt like God gave me the word engage, and kind of for 2023, it's about engaging, and we've already talked about engaging God. We've talked about engaging people. We've talked about engaging Jesus. And here most recently, for about the last month, we've been talking about engaging our community. And today kind of wraps that up. But that doesn't mean we stop engaging our community. This is ongoing. This is what we are called to do as followers of Jesus. In Luke's gospel, chapter 9, which isn't in your bulletin, the bulletin has chapter 10, but in chapter 9, Jesus sent out the 12. He sent them out to do ministry. Luke 9:1 says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And when the 12 came back, they were just telling Jesus all that had happened. They proclaimed the kingdom of God, and God healed and released people. They were doing what they had watched Jesus do. And they saw results similar to the results that they had seen with Jesus' ministry. Now, when you look at that, it's easy to say, okay, that was the 12. That was kind of his inner circle. Those were the ones he worked close with. I can see how Jesus could give them power and authority to go out and do ministry as he had been doing. But then we come to Luke chapter 10. And there, Jesus sends out 72 more. Some translations say 70. But these are followers of Jesus. They're not the apostles. They're not the inner circle. These are others who followed. I think these represent us. And he sends them out with similar instructions. Luke 10:1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was going. He sent them out two by two. We need each other. We need that support. We need that encouragement. We need that protection. We need that accountability. And besides, in Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. So when we go out with two and we go out as a pair, there's a third with us. Jesus goes with us when we do that. And if we will listen to him, he will lead us where he wants us to go. Jesus is not constricted by location or time anymore. So Jesus goes ahead of us, he goes with us, and he comes behind us. He surrounds us as he sends us, and he just asks us to be obedient and go where he's going to go, where he already is, and where he will go with us. If we will listen, he will direct us where to go. And our obedience has eternal consequences, both for us and for others. So that nudge you get to go somewhere or to say something to someone is the Holy Spirit pushing you to go ahead of Jesus, to go ahead of where he's about. We are kind of like John the Baptist. We proclaim the kingdom of God and prepare the way for Jesus to come in. We speak to people so that their hearts are prepared for when Jesus shows up. And some of you, over the past several weeks, I've heard of places where you've sensed that nudge. As we've talked about engaging our community, God's opened your eyes to where he is going. He's given you a heart for people, for a ministry, and he's sending you out. He's asking you to go beyond where you are comfortable and to prepare people for his arrival. In Luke chapter 10, picking up at verse 2, he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus specifically tells us to pray for God to send harvesters into the harvest field. The church is quick to pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But are we as quick to pray, "Lord, send out harvesters into the harvest field"? A guy I know who's a pastor, and now he's got my son doing it. At 10:02, because it's chapter 10, verse 2 of Luke, at 10:02, every day, their phone alarm goes off to remind them to pray for laborers to go into the harvest field. I have a theory on why we're much quicker to pray the Lord's Prayer than we are to pray for God to send workers. I think it's that next word Jesus says, "Go." He's saying, pray for workers, and now go and be one of them. He's saying, answer the prayer you're praying by going. Go to work. Go make disciples. Go into the field and be a part of the harvest. That's what we've been talking about for the past few weeks, as we go and engage our community with eyes to see, with hearts to care, with hands to serve. Picking up verse 3, "Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you." Now, Jesus doesn't pull any punches. "I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Oh, by the way, don't take anything with you. If you think you need it, don't worry about it. I will provide." He says, "I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves." You'd think he'd say, "Take a sword. Take something to defend yourself. Take something, protect yourself." He said, "No, don't take anything with you. Trust me to provide what you need. Trust me to protect you. And stay focused. Don't get sidetracked along the way. Don't get in these chit-chat things on this side or that side. Go to where I've called you to go. And when you enter a house," and I stretch this, "when you enter a business, when you encounter someone on the street, when you go into a store, first, before you start trying to convince them of their need for Jesus or of your great knowledge of Scripture, say, peace to this home, peace to this place." Yesterday was Lana and my anniversary, 34 years. She's a saint, right? Yeah. So here's what we did. She went and got a pedicure, and I walked 5 miles while she was getting her pedicure. It fit both of us well. But as I was walking down that cross trail, this came to mind, and I said, "Lord, peace on my path here. And if I encounter someone who needs to hear about you, put them in my path and open that door. Peace." And I encountered a bunch of people along the way. But then I was walking, and there was a guy, he had 2 golden retrievers. And right before that, there was a path, and there was 3 deer standing there. So when I got to him, I said, "Hey, I don't know what your dogs are, but there's 3 deer standing there. You don't want them to drag you off." And the guy started talking to me, and he talked to me for a half an hour. He has lung cancer, and he had bladder cancer, and he's been through all that. And I got to talk to him and pray for him and show Jesus to him. And right before I left, because Lon A came around there and picked me up, right before I left, he says, "Oh, by the way, what do you do for a living?" I said, "I'm a pastor." He says, "Really?" He said, "Where?" So I told him where our church was, and he was familiar, but he was the guy that never went to church. Peace be on this place. I didn't have to go in and beat him over the head with the Bible. I was able to just carry on conversation with him, and peace landed into our conversation. See, if there's receptivity, there is peace. When we go, we're going as lambs among wolves, but that doesn't mean we begin to act like a wolf. We don't have to get on the defensive. We don't have to be on the offensive. We are lambs among wolves. And if people reject us because of our faith, let it go. We don't have to get in an arguing with someone doesn't win people to Jesus. They're not ready yet. Speak peace. And if peace is not received by them, let it go. If you stay with someone, he says in this passage, accept what they have to offer you. Don't jump around for the best deal. Stick with where God has you. He talks about, you know, eat what they offer you and all that. And I say, that means you eat chicken foot soup. I made some this week, and some guys wouldn't even try it. Muskrat. Maybe dandelions and some of that for you, you that are vegan, you know, all those things that you say. Ah. I've heard of people going on mission trips and they eat mice or guinea pigs. We say, ah, right? Eat what they offer you. Oh, man, I don't know about that, Jesus. Hold on. Build relationships with the people God's brought into your life. Pray with them. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the kingdom of God. Show them what it looks like to live for Jesus. And invite them to join you on the journey. The guy I had preached a few weeks ago, Ed Gross, he wrote a book and he says, winning people to Jesus with peace, not pressure. I think that's what it's about. It's not about this high-pressure sales. It's about offering peace. So we pray peace ahead of time, and we look for where God is already working. Picking up verse 7, stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, including chicken foot soup or muskrat. Oh, that part's not in there. That's my add-on. For the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Don't forget, Jesus has gone ahead of you. He's coming behind you, and he is with you. He's working through you. So we don't need to be afraid to pray for healing. Healing of relationships, physical healing, spiritual healing, mental healing, emotional healing, whatever the healing, whatever is going on there, we can pray because Jesus is with us in that circumstance. The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God involves restoration of lives that are broken. Broken by illness, broken by addiction, broken by hurt, broken by death. What Jesus did in his ministry, he sends us and calls us to do the same thing. That blows my mind when I think about it. But that's what he's doing. He's sending us as he sent the 12, as he sent the 72, and now he sends us. We're not the source. We have to remember that. We're the conduit for the medicine of mercy that brings healing. The kingdom of God is near. Jesus is present. as I've been saying for like the last month, remember, we are ambassadors for the kingdom of God. We are to represent, to represent Jesus to the people we encounter, full of grace and mercy. We reach out to those who are rejected by our culture. We bring hope to the hopeless, and we offer life to the spiritually dead. Picking up in verse 10. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. You notice those who accept, those who reject, the kingdom of God has come near, whether they accept it or not. And if you're rejected, we don't have to get defensive. They are not rejecting you. They are rejecting the one who sent you, the one you are representing. It's not time yet for them. The harvest field, the harvest is plentiful, but their fruit isn't ready yet. And if we go in there smashing and bashing, we just knock the fruit off the tree and it never has time to mature. Peace on this place. And we look for where God is working. And if they reject us, we let it go. We knock the dust off our feet. Maybe there'll be another time when we all encounter that person. And then again, we can share and see if peace sticks with them or not. When we're not welcome, we don't need to get in people's face and say, just go to hell then. I don't care. That's your choice. Just continue to pray for them and allow God to work in their lives. Knock the dust off your feet and go where peace is received. Jesus said in verse 16 of Luke 10, whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. You and I have been sent out into the harvest field. Jesus said, pray for the harvesters and go. In Matthew 28, when Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples, it's as you go. As we go, we enter the mission field. We enter the harvest field wherever we go. Whether you're with family or friends or neighbors or in a store or at work, you are in the harvest field. And the harvest is plentiful. There are people who are hurting and lonely and broken and seeking wherever we go. We just have to have eyes to see and hearts to care and hands to serve to prepare them for Jesus showing up. I believe the church got off course when we began to separate sacred and secular. Began to separate clergy and laity. Abraham Kuyper, Prime Minister of the Netherlands in the early 1900s, said, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. It is all his. It is all sacred. It all belongs to Jesus. He's as much with you when you go to work as he is when you walk in this sanctuary. He is as much with you when you are sitting there watching TV as he is when you go on a mission trip. It is all sacred. Jesus sent out the 12, his closest disciples. And then he sent the 72. It's expanded out a little more. And then if you go into the book of Acts, you see it goes out even more. As we send out into the harvest field. We go out to where the people are, and we reveal Christ to them. We tell them about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God continues to grow as we continue to go out into the harvest field. The 12, then the 72, and then we are called to share Jesus' transformational message. And he gives us the power to go with that message. So what the 12 did, the 72 did, is what we're called to do. If you're here this morning, and you're not a follower of Jesus, and you're here just checking things out, just know Jesus is not a high-pressure salesman. What Jesus said is, follow me. What Jesus said is, come and see. Psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's not about having a high pressure. Oh, I got it. It's, all right, Jesus, I want to see what you've got here. And he will reveal himself to you. And he will bring healing. He will bring hope. He will bring restoration to yourself and to your relationships. And as he does that, then we can go and tell others, hey, this is what Jesus did for me. And he can do the same for you. It's pretty simple. We don't have to be a theologian. We don't have to be a biblical scholar. All we have to do is encounter Jesus and allow him to transform our lives and then go and share with others, here's what he's done for me. And he wants to do the same for you. See, we're sent because he's already come to us. And once he comes to us, we can't help but go out into the harvest field and invite others to come. You are sent into the harvest field. All of us who are followers of Jesus are called into full-time ministry. Some of you might say, what are you talking about? Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 9, and he's writing to persecuted Christians, but he's using language that came from the nation of Israel, from Exodus and from Hosea. Peter says, but you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You have been chosen. We have been chosen. We are a royal priesthood. A priest represents God to the people and the people to God. That's what we are called to. We are all in full-time ministry. We just have different parts to play. As your pastor, I am responsible for studying and teaching Scripture, for praying, for visiting, for preparing God's people for works of service. As Paul's letter to the Ephesians says, I am to equip you to go into the harvest field. To be disciples, making disciples. When you go to work, you go to work as a missionary, as a minister, as a harvester. When you go to school, you're going as a missionary. When you go to a family reunion, you are going as a missionary. When you go on vacation, you're going as a missionary, as a minister. You are going And if you haven't figured out, I love this term, as an ambassador, as a representative of Jesus. If you're in business, you're a missionary to your business and all the contacts you have with your business. If you're raising kids or you're caring for elderly parents, you're a missionary. You're a minister to those kids. You're a minister to that parent or that older adult. Paul tells us in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Contrary to popular belief, work is of God. God created. He worked and he continues to work, and then he rested. When Adam was created, God put him in the garden to work the garden. This is before the fall. He worked the garden. He cared for the garden. He was a steward of the garden. And then he rested. And we are called to work and to rest, to find that rhythm of life that God gives us. And when we go to work, our work is worship. And as followers of Jesus, we take him to work with us. We are a shining light. We are salt to the world. And if we go as we're called to go, we will make a difference. Now, that doesn't mean we go to work Bible banging and quoting scripture every time somebody talks to us, and we're spending all our time trying to evangelize and we're not doing the job we're supposed to do. No, we're there to do the job we're called to do, but we represent Jesus while we're doing it. And if we represent Jesus while we're doing our work, people will notice something different about us, and they will come to us when they're broken, when they're hurting, when they're needing something. Christians should be the best workers employers can find. They ought to say, man, if you're a Christian, I'll hire you, because we give everything we've got. We give our best to them. Because we know we're serving the Lord. And if you're an employer, you ought to be the best employer if you're a follower of Jesus. And people should see that in you and be drawn to Jesus because of the way we work. But when we go and we say, peace to this place. And then we imitate Jesus in the way we work. We share the reason for our hope and our joy. We offer listening ears. We pray for our coworkers without making a scene. We're in the harvest field. And when you go in the harvest field, you don't go in like a bull in a china shop knocking all the fruit off. You look for what's ready. You call for peace. You look for peace because the harvest is plentiful. One of the best known places where Christians have made a difference in business is probably Chick-fil-A. Truett Cathy, from the beginning, said, I am going to operate this business on Christian principles, including giving everybody off on Sunday. If you don't go to church, that's up to you, but we're going to give you off. That's a day to worship God. It's a day to spend with family. Now I'm talking about Chick-fil-A. Everybody's thinking, man, I'd like to have a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Guess what? You can't get it today. But people have seen that and are drawn to that. And Truett's son is catching a lot of flack because of their Christian principles in our culture today. And he says, I'm unapologetically guilty of standing by the biblical principles. And that's the way we're going to operate our business. One of our sons worked for Chick-fil-A, and he said working there has gotten him more jobs than anything else. Because if they see that he worked at Chick-fil-A, he knows customer service. He knows how to treat people. He knows how to act. And they're pulling from the same pool as all these other fast food places, but there's something different there. Truett Cathy recognized that's the harvest field. And we're going to operate this business as disciples of Jesus Christ, and we're going to let people see Jesus through him. The purpose statement for their company says, the purpose of Chick-fil-A is to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us, to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. But you don't have to be a big company. You don't have to own a company. Many people serve in the so-called secular vocations. And that's where most ministry happens. That's where kingdom expansion happens. It's the job of pastors to equip God's people for works of service, as I said. But we're all called to go out. You know, that separation, laity and clergy, that separation, secular and sacred, there's no separation. It's not real. We're all called. You know, God said the church would say, oh, people would say, oh, that guy wants to accept Christ. Got to call the pastor? No, you don't. We're all called to go. Go as harvesters into the harvest field. Victoria Seithel is a research analyst in England. She writes a blog, and I was reading it, and she said she was graduating from the university, and she was active with youth in her church and just really involved in church and thinking, well, maybe I need to go to work at the church. Maybe I need to go into ministry. She actually had an advisor at university. Said, man, you're going to waste a good education for that? And she got praying about it, and God laid on her, you don't need to go to the church to do ministry. So she got a job out in the workforce. And she said she realized that that was ministry. That was more ministry than what she would have had by staying in a church. Oh, it made her uncomfortable. It stretched her, but she found out every time she was working on a project, she might not necessarily see the client, but she could pray over the project she was doing for them. When she did meet them, she prayed for them. She prayed for her coworkers. She prayed for people in the office next door. And her ministry expanded because she realized that it's not sacred and secular. It's all sacred. She said, every day I'm working with amazing people, doing exciting and innovative work, learning new things and challenging myself. Not only that, but I'm able to be a blessing to others around me in a way that would have been impossible if I had stayed in my comfort zone and not gone where God led me. And I've heard some of your stories, and many of you realize that your work is worship. You realize that you are missionaries where you work, where you play, where you go. You are ambassadors for Christ. Many of you take that seriously, and I praise God for that. Once again, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go! I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. We all have different fields where Jesus is sending us. Even if you work in the same place as other Christians, your field looks a little bit different because you got different connections with different people. And he doesn't promise us it's going to be easy. In fact, he says you're lambs among wolves. But he promises us he'll provide what we need. So today, in recognition of your full-time ministry, where you spend your weekdays, I want to commission you for ministry, just as churches commission missionaries to go across the globe. I want to commission you as full-time ministers for Jesus, ambassadors for the kingdom of God. And I have a card here that I'm going to give to each of you. This card will not get you a parking place. This card will not get you out of a ticket. I had a guy that I knew that was working as a chaplain with the sheriff's department, and every time he got pulled over, he'd take his sheriff ID card to put along with his license when he handed it out, and they just let him go. Ben, do they still do that, so? This card won't do that. This card does not make it so you can do weddings or communion or baptisms. This card probably won't even get you into a hospital room, but this card is for you to put in your wallet or in your purse to remind you that you are a full-time minister of Jesus Christ. It says on here, full-time ministry ID. This certifies that I am a full-time servant of Jesus. I am called to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Engage my community with eyes to see, a heart to care, hands to serve. Bring light where darkness exists. Share Jesus in words and actions. So this morning we're going to give each one of you one of these cards. As a reminder that Jesus has called you to this. John 15, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so you might go bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. See, you've been chosen. You've been chosen to be in the place where you are right now. Now, you might not be where you want to be forever, but the place where you are right now, Jesus has chosen for you to be there, and you are to be salt and light in that place. You are to be his ambassador right there. So remember, he goes ahead of you. He goes with you, and he will come behind you. So this morning, I'm going to call out some areas of ministry in life. And when I call out an area that you're involved in, I want to ask you to come up and get a card. I might call a couple areas that would identify you. You only need one card. You don't need a whole deck. All right, but you can stand up anyway, but don't come up and get the card unless you haven't gotten one already. And what I want us, the rest of us, to do is to recognize those that are coming, clapping, hooping and hollering, that stuff's okay. As we recognize those who are coming as full-time ministers, Jesus Christ.